Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Klostermeyer family in joyful celebration of Elton and Gloria's 65th wedding anniversary.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Please be seated. I'll tell you guys, I am able to contain myself a little bit better now that the second time around, but I just almost preached on the last verse of that hymn in the early service. My goodness. I know it's a hard one to sing, okay? But my goodness. And to the Holy Spirit, the perfect Trinity, I love this line, let all the worlds give answer, amen, so shall it be. How is that for a picture of everything that ever has been? Let all the worlds, it's like it's sort of a sci-fi picture. Oh, man. Anyways, I love it. That's great. We'll put that down for now. Okay, the gospel lesson for today from John 17. John 17, you should know, is basically a chapter-long prayer towards the end of John's gospel. And this is a very interesting prayer. It's often called the high priestly prayer because this is Jesus praying for his disciples. And not only praying for his disciples, but praying with his disciples in their presence for them. Okay? Understand this. This is a prayer recorded in the Bible of your Lord Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the only begotten Son of God the Father, who became incarnate and took on human flesh for your salvation and the salvation of the human race, who now is praying for you and with you as he reigns triumphantly at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, I think there's enough just in that fact, just in the bare details of this high priestly prayer for probably a whole career's worth of sermons. But I just want to flag that for you this morning. I just want to draw your attention to the fact, again, that our Lord Jesus, who is now risen from the dead, descended into hell, ascended into heaven, and is sitting eternally and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is praying for you, his church. Ponder that. Just kind of, you know, when you're feeling a little bit bad about something, just remember, oh, wait a second. God the Son prays for me. Okay. And again, this prayer is, I'll say, it's a doozy. All right? Go home this afternoon, take a few minutes, read John 17, and just kind of bask in it a little bit. Okay? I'm going to take one line, that first line, and I think we could do some work here. Holy Father, Jesus says, keep them in your name. Again, them is his apostles he's praying for that are in the same room with him, but also his holy Christian and apostolic church. That's all of you. That's all of us. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Holy Father, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is praying to God, his Father. The only begotten Son is praying to the Father and asking him to keep his disciples in, he says, your name, their name, the same name that God the Father has given him. So he prays to his Father that you, his church, would be kept in his name. And this is, as he says himself in the next little phrase there, the same name which God the Father has given him. Okay, you get that? So God has given, God the Father has given God the Son of this name. Then they have given this name to the church. And Jesus' prayer to God the Father is that you would be kept in that name. That now being entered into this name, you would remain there in that name with him and God the Father. Okay? If your mind is not a little boggled at this point, then you're either Greek or you're not paying attention. That they may be one even as we are one, he says. The end and the purpose of this prayer and his request that God would keep his people in their name is unity within the church. He desires for his church, to the people whom he has placed his name upon, to be in union. Now, this is probably not a surprise to you, and we talk about unity in the church in all kinds of different ways, okay? And this is one of them, but this is a very powerful example of unity within the church. Because Jesus says, make them one even as we are one. Okay? Now, here's a quick, but I think an easy question for you. How many gods do we have? Thank you. You guys are already a little more confident than early service. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'll give you the advanced question. How many persons does our God have? Three. Yeah, okay. This is the mystery of the Holy Trinity that the Christian church holds dearly, that we believe in one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet we don't have three gods, but one God. We'll talk about this in a couple weeks when we confess the Athanasian Creed. Okay? So let's just say this again. Jesus prays to his Father that we, his church, would be one as he and the Father are one. Guys, you can't be more one than God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are with God the Son. And Jesus' prayer here is that we would be as unified as that, and also that because we are in his name, we would be unified with him. That is astonishing. Now, full disclaimer here, many things over the last, few thousand years have been written on the name of God by men far more intelligent and astute than I am, and certainly by people more eloquent than I am. But I'm just going to take a stab this morning, okay? This name of God that Jesus prays that his church would be kept in unity in, would be guarded and protected in, is the name of God, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, I hope you realize this, the name of God. Now, some people get a little bit confused, especially about like Father and Son, because they get this idea, and some people use this slanderously, but we won't deal with that right now. We say, you know, fathers are, they can be nice, you know, and there's certain things about fathers that we like. Well, and God is kind of like that, so we'll call him Father because I have a father that I know, and so not knowing as much about God, I'll sort of apply that title to him. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that is exactly backwards. The fact of the matter is, God is not really like your father at all. God the Father is Father. He is Father. He is all that it means perfectly and completely to be Father. And all the ways by which your father, or you as serving as a father, emulate or ape God the Father are only your weak, in the best cases, attempts to be like him. He is the one Father, not even the one Father, he is the Father. And the only way we have any idea of what it means to be a father, truly, really, completely, perfectly, is to know him. Very similarly with God the Son. God the Son is Son. He is all that it means perfectly and truly and completely in an almost somewhat unknowable way for us fallen creatures to be Son. In all the ways that your son, or you as a son, or just a son that you know, happens to be a good son, again, it's only a weak aping or guessing at what God the Son really is, what the true Son is and does. And in fact, the whole ministry of Jesus is done, as a perfect son would do, in perfect submission and honor to his Father. He takes on human flesh and descends into this creation because his Father wills it. And so God the Son is not a son. He's not like your son. He's not a really good son like other sons. He is Son. And similarly with God the Holy Spirit, as I force my confirmation students to say. God the Holy Spirit. You may know spiritual people. You may know spirited people. Or even spirited animals in some cases. No one, and nothing is spirit as God the Holy Spirit is. You may think you know what it means to draw breath. You may think you know what it means to be alive, but God the Holy Spirit is breath, is life. He is the one who breathes on those dead bones that are slain and makes them to live. That is God, the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing and there is no one that rivals him, that rivals them, that rivals the one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, this is the name of God that has been placed on you. This is the name that is inscribed on your forehead and on your heart when you are baptized. This is the name that I think you've probably noticed this, invoke on you every single Sunday. We begin our services in that name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because by that very action, God is keeping us and guarding us in his name as our Lord Jesus prayed for us so long ago. This is the name of God. And you take it with you everywhere you go, even though you might not know it, because again, on your forehead and your heart, it has been carved. And by the word and the sacraments of God, you are kept and guarded in that name, right here, right now. So pray with me. Holy Father, in accordance with the prayer of our Lord Jesus, keep us in your name. Draw us to you by your word and your sacraments. Strengthen us through those great and miraculous gifts. And make us, in this name, one as you are one. Make us your sons and daughters in your kingdom and guard us in your holy church by your name and by your works. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.